After a 1 year hiatus?
Yes.
Possibly even longer than a year.
At least a year.
Limited to everything. That's our. There you go. Yeah, that's, it's been that long.
It's that long you forgot your own.
Whatever the amount of years where you forget the name is, that's how long it's been.
To forget the name of your own production?
Of your own self owned.
That happens self-hosted. With parents all the time.
Brainchild.
Brainchild.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we are back. I am back, more pointedly to say, maybe since I was gone for most of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And the Book of Boba Fett just dropped, so to speak, maybe last week or 2 weeks ago.
We're three weeks into it now.
Okay. And so today we are going to cover the first two episodes of that, just kind of talk about it, chew the fat. But nothing too rigid. If you've listened to our podcast before, you might know that that's how we do things.
Yeah.
As little structure as possible, generally.
Sometimes less
and someone
than that.
Delivers a subpar plot synopsis.
Yeah.
Hey, mine are usually pretty good. They're
no,
bad.
No, they are not. They're just. No. You remember this? What's the thing we always made fun of you for?
A really good job. But...
What's the thing we always made fun of you for?
Too much detail? Camera angles?
Too much. Exactly.
No.
You know
no,
it.
No.
I didn't even have to say
anything.
No.
Because I've listened to all of our episodes, and it was only in the first couple. And
it
then
was
you...
in Hellboy.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, well, that one specifically, but I'm saying I got a lot better after that because then you and Aaron and Bradley all tried to do it, and you were all terrible at it. And then
you'll have another chance. You ended up tossing it
back to me.
In just a moment.
So.
I'm Nate.
I'm Karina.
I'm Bradley.
And this podcast is limited to everything. Alrighty, Karina, since you are the self-proclaimed probably greatest plot summarizer of all time.
Thank you.
Please summarize only the first two episodes of the Book of Boba Fett.
Okay, so Boba Fett has taken over Jabba's old, I don't know what you want to call it, estate, essentially.
Den.
And so he's on Tatooine, and he's basically, part of it is he is trying to make himself... relevant and accepted as the new what is the word that they use? It's Japanese
daimyos.
Word. Daimyo. As the new daimyo, which is basically like a feudal lord of that area. And then you're also getting flashbacks to what happened between when we see him in Return of the Jedi get eaten by Sarlacc. There we go. I made a cake with that.
You did.
When he gets eaten by the Sarlacc and then when he shows up again in Mandalorian. So that's what's going on in the first two episodes.
Mm-hmm. But what like actually happens in the first
episode? Oh, well, I thought you wanted to keep it pretty broad so we could talk
summary.
About it.
Okay, fine. Okay, no, let's just do
it. It's not, I mean, I feel like with it being episodes and just kind of the nature of this, it's probably better if I don't do too much more as a summary because.
Sure, okay, let's
just get into it.
Talk about.
Because that's the overarching. Like, those
yes,
are
the
two
the,
different
the
things that are going on.
That's
it jumps
premise.
Back and forth between.
Okay, let's start
day
there, actually. What do you guys think about that, jumping back and forth?
I think it's good. It gives you backstory of what happened. It doesn't leave you like the movies with no explanation. So having backstory is actually really nice. It makes it give... Because, I mean, Boba Fett is just an enigma in Star Wars. So actually going through some of his own personal journey, especially like, okay, how the hell did you survive in Mandalorian? You just like come out of nowhere. So I think that's nice and... you get to see his personality more and just who he is as a person. So
I have to say I'm way more invested in the backstory, or I suppose you would call it the in-between story, than present day.
Yeah.
So far, I would agree with that. I think
name
it's very interesting.
One interesting thing that's happened in present day so far in the first two episodes.
The motorbikes. Oh my gosh.
No. Present Wait. Day.
Present
see,
day?
That's in the
Wait,
flashbacks.
Am I?
Well, there are the... You know,
you're thinking of third episode.
sorry.
I'm trying to think. In the first two episodes, probably the only thing that's been interesting so far is just kind of the over. I'm kind of interested in the what's going on with the conflict of like the mayors being very shady and not wanting him to want to take over, like to let him take over, even though they traditionally have had like a crime lord there, and that's pretty normal for they're in Mos Espa, right?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
So
and you know, I'm kind of in. invested in what's happening there and kind of the different factions that might be at work. But I think, you know, probably 90% of what's holding my interest is his time with the Sand People. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think there's so much potential in the present day stuff with him trying to waltz in and just kind of take the throne. And obviously people aren't going to vibe with that. Not everybody's going to vibe with that. You have other crime lords who want to, you know, just, I want to gang war basically. And I don't think we're going to get that. I also want politics and intrigue and stuff. Mm-hmm. I want it to be interesting, not prequel well, trilogy that's politics. What I thought was, but I'm worried that's not going
to
happen.
Japanese politics. So Daimyos, yeah, that's referring to a feudal state in the 19th century Japan during the Tokugawa era. So Tokugawa.
That sounds good.
Yeah. It sounds like Gata Taku.
It's like
sounds like the Tagawa faction.
And then Sago Takamori, one of my students, refers to that as Sagi Tacos, so that's how he remembers them.
Just completely just defecating all over Japanese culture. I love yeah. it.
No, but I think Star Wars does a really good job. It's not like our politics, but it does have an interesting political intrigue behind it.
Usually,
so.
But actually when you compare it, well, in the books, yes. There's not been a movie yet that really makes the politics interesting. You want interesting politics, go to Dune. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Dune has really interesting fictional politics. Star Wars, it's either so broad that it's not interesting, like the originals, or it's
so specific.
Or it's so specific and boring empire. That you feel like you're watching a political drama.
Like a reality show
Wars.
Almost.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
We got to stay on track. This is actually our first Star Wars content.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
We need to try and stay on track because, oh my goodness,
there's so much stuff
the
that we need to talk about.
The Wookiee eye candy. How about that?
Well, that's only briefly in episode two.
Yeah, but he's in it.
I can't remember his name. It starts with a K.
I don't remember.
Cutie.
We'll just call him K. Yeah.
He's a beefy guy. Yeah. I like it.
He makes Chewbacca
I actually
look like
a
bitch.
He does.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wow, you know, you think Chewbacca's a little intimidating looking when you watch the first one. I was like, ah,
no,
this
there's
one,
memes
like,
of him.
Chewbacca
like,
looks like a pet dog.
Yeah. Like, this guy could just own Chewbacca's ass.
Really
I'm looking forward to seeing him fight. I'm looking forward to seeing some
Well, before
scenes.
We go back on that, because that's kind of... Let's go back to where we were at with just... You were talking about kind of potential for the for what's happening in the present day. And I think... It feels like they're ramping it up a little by the end of the second episode. I mean, you have...
By the end of the second episode, they go to meet the mayor. Mm-hmm. And the mayor kind of dismisses him out of hand. Like, there's assassins sent, they say, by the emperor. The emperor, the assassins that jump him in the first episode.
Not sent by the emperor.
They say they are. A mayor. I mean mayor, sorry.
I was like, the mayor.
Sorry, terminology. The mayor, basically...
Says no,
that wasn't me, and kills the guy, whatever. And then they go to the cantina thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call those? What do you call the beings with the long tubes?
Oh, I'm not sure the terminology.
It's what Ahsoka is, and
I forget their race.
Yeah, I can't remember.
So that, that race.
No, it's not. It's not the same as maybe she's just a special one. I don't know. Anyways, whatever. Yeah. They go there, and we don't know much about them yet.
Pay tribute, and they're under the territory and protection of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Basically, they get to continue operating as kind of like more like a casino than than just a cantina.
Also,
but
a couple huts. Showed up and kind of challenged him a little
bit. The twins.
Yeah.
I don't remember their names, but they're called the twins.
Brother and sister.
Yeah, basically show up with that Wookiee we were talking about, Kay. And,
we can call them the Olsen twins just for, or the Hutt twins.
And, basically kind of issue a challenge in a little bit and, kind of saying, like, this was Jabba's territory and we don't like that you've stepped in to, to try and stake a claim here. But I think that the Sand People... elements so far have been far more interesting, and I think what's interesting also about the way the show has been done so far is how little dialogue there is during the Sand People parts, and yet the story is still very compelling.
Well, you kind of have this Dances with Wolves situation, right?
Yeah,
where he like is kind of kidnapped by the tribe initially, kind of proves his worth a little bit, and then by the end of the second episode has become part of the tribe for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously you have that basically almost, it's it's a classic white man encounters Indians situation where there's not much talking. There's some hand signals. It is.
But I think, honestly, the lack of dialogue makes it way better because you're left to your imagination and you fill in the spots. And I think that's intentional.
Or is it because Tamura Morrison delivers dialogue like a broken robot?
Either that or they just decide, hey, like more is said when less is said, actually. So I think it's honestly better than to just have meaningless political talk or meaningless talk about the tribes. Yeah. Like, you get to see their way of life, and that explains more than if they actually expound on it.
I think that something that a lot of current movies do fall into the trap of doing that you don't see as much in older films is that they feel this need to constantly have people be talking about something, even if it's just meaningless dialogue between a couple of characters. Or even
worse, in the case of Star Wars, just name-dropping random things for the sake of name-dropping.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that part of, you know, props to Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau for understanding that that would be detrimental to the series and for at least so far keeping the idle chatter to a minimum, and they're not name dropping, they're not trying to throw in extra things that are going to like earn them points with fans or anything like that. They're just telling a good story, and it really does rely more on the visuals and the body language of these characters interacting and than it does on, you know, and they're also like trusting their audience to be intelligent instead of feeling like they have to explain every single thing that's going on. You know, there isn't this like, oh, we're going to treat you like you're 4 years old and let's walk through every detail of every scene. And some character has to explain it for the audience's sake, which you also see a lot of in like the actual Star Wars movies that Disney has made, where people kind of have to talk through, well, like, okay, we're going to go much... here and do this, and then you're going to do this. And
how much of a hand does Disney actually have? Like, or did they just say, hey, like, you know, Favreau and Filoni, do what you want, like make a good product, and then maybe
if they're
that's
smart,
something...
that's what they do, yeah. Because that worked out pretty well with The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So,
well, and so I mean, I would hope that they recognize that at this point, that's basically all they have going for them in the Star Wars arena.
Well, I think they had to postpone production because like the last film just absolutely crapped itself, and they were supposed to come out with a film every year, and then COVID happened.
Marvel style.
They didn't produce it or anything or start filming. But then they finally picked up
Blessing
Obi-Wan.
In disguise.
Yeah.
No yeah. Because now Obi-Wan's a finished product, and that should be coming out either this year or next year.
And so. I expect that to be along the lines of Mandalorian and Boba Fett.
I would hope so.
Higher caliber.
Kind of. Visually speaking, I think this show looks pretty good so far. As far as costume design goes, I think the costumes seem really good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're dealing with the Raiders. I like
some of the designs for the Sand People and Tusken Raiders are really good.
Yeah. However, I would say some of the CGI sucks, which to be fair, it's just a show.
A TV
you can't expect too much. A couple of the sets look really bad, in my opinion.
Which
I agree.
The end of the first episode, maybe not the end, somewhere in the first episode when he kind of runs away and then kind of one-on-one fights the main warrior in the Tuskens.
It's obvious.
That
it's green
looks so bad.
Yeah, I
it
didn't
looks like there's
that.
A fog machine, and it looks like a stage for like a live performance.
Yeah, that felt like a Broadway production.
Also,
and
that's
not
just
like
it could be a simple fix as much as like camera angles, because they'll do like a shot from further away. They'll zoom in and then start panning out. If they could just keep it close up, it wouldn't look as fake. So that's just easy tweaks, but I agree. Yeah.
But like you said, these are also, this is a show, and I know it's still big budget because it's Disney, but at the same time, it is a show. This is not a, you know.
It's not a film.
Millions and
millions
of dollars.
Yeah, because it's not going to
theaters
and making a ton of money.
Yeah,
so.
This is going to be viewed on the small screen in people's homes or on their phones.
Well,
it's
think
not
about
going to go to the big screen
the
ever.
Merits that they try and say, oh, here's some redeeming qualities with the trilogy. It's like, oh, just cinematically, like the scenery is beautiful. It's like, I don't care. I don't come to watch Star Wars to see the scenery. And it's all CGI even on a computer. Like, I don't care.
It'll be interesting to see if maybe some of that, some of the visual aspects get better as the show goes on. Because with The Mandalorian, they were all pretty solid. And I remember watching something kind of a behind the scenes look at how they did some of the camera work and everything. And they basically avoided using sets. And so I don't know if because of COVID, if they've been limited on their ability to travel and do some of that, and maybe that will improve as the show goes on.
Although at this point, kind of everywhere. Like, as long as you're vaccinated, you can kind of go anywhere.
So. And I don't know when they originally shot these first few episodes. I don't know how old they are. If they're from last year, they may have been more limited on where they could go and what they could do. Well, so it make it better. When did the last season
of Mandalorian come out?
Well, I don't know when they filmed it.
Because it set it up for the Book of Boba Fett. So my guess is they were probably starting production like during the last season of Mandalorian, because they're preparing for the next set, or they just started shortly after.
Either way, I'm just curious to see if some of that will change, because Mandalorian didn't have as many issues. I mean, for the most part, it all looked really good. At least the set pieces did. You know, again, some of the CGI was a little iffy on like some of the creatures and whatnot, but for the most part, the set pieces looked good. So I'm hoping that some of the set pieces might improve as as the filming goes on, just kind of depending on what was going on with like travel restrictions and some of that other stuff when they were actually shooting, because I don't know where they filmed. Maybe they just filmed in California, but...
Do you guys think about both casting and acting performances? Although, I mean, kind of as far as casting goes, that's not a great thing to talk about, really, because you have Boba Fett, you have Ming-Na Wen's character, whatever her name is, I don't know, his sidekick.
Hang on.
Yeah. You have the courier for the mayor.
Fennec Shand is her
name. Okay. You have the courier for the mayor and or the representative, whatever. That's kind of it as far as like performances, really, that you can talk about. Everything else is either CGI or the Tusken Raiders, so.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, it's pretty dry, but I think part of it's intentional. Like, it's awkward. Everybody's trying to figure out their place in this new, like, power grab. So, yeah, it does seem like it's awkward and everybody's trying to figure everything out. And who plays Boba?
Tamara Morrison.
Yeah. Tamara Morrison.
I think he just, as an actor, I think he kind of plays himself, but...
That's not acting, Bradley.
No, like, okay, think well, Ryan...
Well, we can say the same thing about Tom Cruise. Think, he doesn't act.
Yeah, think Tom Cruise, think Ryan Reynolds, like, think Jack Nicholson. Every film they're in, they play the same character, and it feels like they act themselves. But, so that's kind of what I'm getting at.
I'm not saying... I don't know. I've never seen Tamara Morrison in anything other than...
He's in Free Willy.
Okay, that is not that? Endearing towards him at all. And this kind of works with the character. In fact, I actually like a sort of expressionless Boba Fett.
Yeah, I'm saying it works with him. Yeah.
That's good. So I think it works okay. I've seen some people complaining about how he kind of has a wooden performance. I don't really have a problem with that because of the character. More of my problem is the fact that they actually used him. Because, like, I remember when he showed up in The Mandalorian and everybody was like, oh, Boba Fett's back. And guess what? Oh, they used Tamara Morrison. Well, that's, like, amazing. He's fat. He's not fat, but he's, like, super, like, he's too big for his armor. He literally grew out of his armor. They didn't try and make the armor look good on him. It's like he's a baby with a bib. It looks terrible. He has so many like weak spots now, and it just looks like trash. He looks like he put on a child's playset of Boba Fett armor. After getting from Walmart.
Swallowed up and you know almost being digested for 1,000 years, that's pretty traumatic.
He should have atrophied. He just better.
He hit the buffets. Did you see that table of buffets, man? Like he's getting fed nonstop. Like,
anyways, yeah. I think it was a bad call on their part to bring him back for the wow factor, because in return they got somebody who doesn't fit in the armor anymore, and they didn't even try to fix that problem. Yeah, he looks like a dork.
I do think that that's weird that they didn't have him get in a little bit better shape or just make armor that would fit him better. I think that they should have done one or the other, and I agree that's kind of weird. But again, that's not really like an acting slash actor thing, because that's not...
I think it's if tough, they... though,
oh, I said acting and casting.
Oh, okay.
This is a casting issue that I have, obviously.
Although, I think, like you said, though, I kind of like... Even though he is a little wooden sometimes.
And I don't mind that.
It's not horrible. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, I can see where people are coming from to be like, he's a little wooden. He feels a little stiff or awkward. I don't think that's bad, though, because based on the little bit of Boba Fett that we saw in the original films, he does kind of come across as like wooden and awkward anyway. Like he's not exactly like a chummy, charismatic, like fun guy. You know, he's not, you know, he's not he's not Han. He's not like that. You know, you're not expecting that from his character. And I kind of like that he's a, you know, tends to be kind of a man of few words, it seems like. And so I think that they did a good job with that. It's just weird to me that they didn't feel the need to put in like a little more effort with like.
Well, maybe. I mean, he's a muscular man, but he's got that like pot belly. But I mean,
it's all not even have like to quite a pot is, belly. Like, it's really just,
he's just thick.
Yeah,
I think that's just his build, because it's really tough. Like, I'll see guys who do like thousands of crunches and like ab workouts, and like it's just a brick wall. Like, they can't get any definition, but they're super strong. So I think that's just
he's strong.
He doesn't look fat. He doesn't look like obese or overweight or unhealthy or anything.
He is a thicker mold than
it's
I'm just saying that doesn't work with the armor for me.
You would think that, like, because I don't think anybody would even notice if they had just made the armor to fit him. And yeah, he's thicker than whoever they had play the original Boba Fett in like the original films. You know, he's not quite as wiry as that guy, but I think that if you had just made the armor to fit him, people wouldn't have like, it wouldn't even register. You'd just be like, this is
there's
Boba
two
Fett
solutions to the problem.
Or that, or
two factors.
Yeah, or it's like, put him on a diet and have him lose some weight. If you want to keep the arm, if you want him to still be a real thin guy like he was originally, have him lose weight. Actors do it all the time. It's not like he'd have to drop 100 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, if he lost 10 or 20 pounds,
how old is he? He's
not young.
Closer to his 60s, and I think he still looks really good for being a 60-year-old man.
Yeah, I would say so. Sure.
Yeah.
He's especially in the shape he's
in. Yeah, he didn't let himself just completely go.
Yeah, he does look good for that, I have to say.
So for a 61-year-old man to be able to still do the things that he needs to do in an action series, like, yeah, I think he does a pretty good job of it. I mean, you try moving that quick when you're in your 60s.
I won't. What do you guys think about... do you have any problems with story or I don't know, with some of the more meaty parts, like not just surface level stuff, but with both plot or with whatever? Do you have any issues?
As far as story goes, I think it's pretty compelling with the past and actually building a story. I'm not too interested in the current stuff that's taking place. I'd like them to try and I don't know how they could catch my appeal, but like, just give me something more convincing than territorial issues. Like,
I think it has the potential to become very interesting, like Nate was saying, because it's not something that has really been explored a whole lot in Star Wars either. This kind of this concept of like either a feudal system or like crime lords controlling. You see a little bit of it in the Clone Wars, but you haven't really seen any of it on the big screen. And it's just kind of been something that you're aware that it exists because of the backstories of other characters, but it hasn't really been fleshed out. So I think that there is something you could do with it that could be interesting, or, you know, several things that you could do that would be interesting. But I think that they need to start doing something with it, because you can, you know, with the first episode, I think it's fine that, you know, they didn't really get into it a whole lot. And but I, you know, depending on what they do with his backstory and how long it's going to take them to catch up to the present with, you know, as they do flashbacks, they need to do something else. Because if it's going to have to be more and more time spent in the present, we need to have something there needs to be some actual conflict or just something intriguing going
something
on.
Interesting.
Right? Yeah. There just needs to be something. Like, I agree. I think there's some pieces there that are very interesting and that could develop into compelling
something
threads,
that's
but...
shifted now is Boba is no longer an antagonist. He actually takes different types of leadership forms. He's kind of a neutral now, instead of just taking one side as a bounty hunter. Like, he's hung up his hat on that, and now he's actually a lord.
Which is
so
fine,
it's an interesting shift.
What do you like about bounty hunters? What do you like about his character from the original? That he's cold-hearted and that he's kind of a badass.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been either of those things yet. Like, well, he was a badass at one part in the second episode where he, like, beat up all the pirates at the bar.
Yeah.
That was, for me, the greatest moment so far in the first
I think
two episodes.
That's something they're trying to use his past experience to show that he's been more compassionate. I think that's what they're trying to build now, and that's affecting his leadership now as the current daimyo. But I'm interested to see where it goes. And
I don't dislike what they've, you know, the fact that he hasn't been quite as Boba Fett-ish yet, because obviously he's kind of like, you even know that coming in when he enters into the Mandalorian, like he's not the same guy that he was when he was younger and, you know, pre-Sarlacc pit. Like, he's obviously not the same person, and so I think it's okay if they've, not that I want him to totally lose all that, and I don't think he will. I think part of the problem is we haven't really seen him in any situations yet where, like, aside from kind of the pirates thing and a little bit with the train, like, he hasn't really had an opportunity to do very much where he gets to show that he is a badass and to show that, like, hey, I'm Boba Fett, like, you don't want to mess with me because bad things happen to people who mess with me. And, you know, or he just hasn't really been put in a lot of those situations yet. So far, it's kind of been like in the present, he's just kind of feeling the things out and testing the waters with the people that he kind of is supposed to be.
How many episodes are there supposed to be in this?
I don't know.
It's got to be 6 or 8.
Probably something eight. Like Mandalorian.
I think you're going to start seeing that shift because, you know, first couple of seasons of Mandalorian, I'd say pretty...
There's only two seasons.
You said seasons.
Oh.
There's only two seasons.
Sorry. There's a couple episodes
first, yeah, sorry. But, like, it felt like it had a slow build-up, but I think there's going to be a good payoff.
Which it's fine, but here's the problem I have. It's fine for something to start out slow. For me, Mandalorian never ramped up at all. Like, there was no character development hardly at all in any of the characters. Like, we started to see a little bit more of a human side from Mando, and that was basically it. There was no bad guy that we ever got to know. There was this Giancarlo Esposito, like, oh, he's the bad guy, but he never does anything. We don't learn anything about his character. Two whole seasons, you don't know anything about him.
Do you think they try reintroducing them in Boba Fett? Like, are they still...
I hope not, because honestly, focus on Boba Fett's story. Yeah. Don't try to bring in all this other stuff. Mm-mm. Just try and give me cohesive, interesting story.
What's after Boba Fett? It's Kenobi and then, Ahsoka. I think, Ahsoka. So maybe they'd have a chance to bring them in during Ahsoka.
No, but I don't want them to.
Maybe, right? Not in Kenobi.
Yeah, not Kenobi.
I don't know if I want them to. I'm kind of with Nate on that. I would rather just...
In Ahsoka or Kenobi?
Either. I would rather them... Well, especially with Kenobi, because I don't think it would even work. No. But... I would rather them just, if you're going to make a little 2-season show about somebody, I want you to focus on that person and not try to have callbacks to the show that you made about someone else.
Wait, so
it was okay that they introduced Boba Fett back because he's somebody that everybody had assumed was dead. And so I think that was okay that they introduced him as like, hey, he's going to. But now that you've moved on to Boba Fett and like there was kind of a clear ending to Mando's story, I don't want them to go back and like try and grab those. Yeah, like,
because if you rope everything in, you just spread yourself out even thinner and you can't flesh stuff out.
Exactly.
Well, and then you get an Avengers situation and then you just have to be committed.
And that's the other thing. I don't
brought them all together.
I don't want an MCU type situation where there's suddenly I have to care about 16 different characters and what's going on in their personal lives and the different like personal struggles they have and how they're interacting with some different groups of other characters. Like, I don't want that. That's part of why I kind of tuned out of the MCU partway through and never got reinvested.
Here's the thing. Star Wars' problem is that it's Star Wars and it wants to be this please everybody thing so we can make a shit ton of money. That's the problem. If you want quality characters and quality story in a TV show, science fiction TV show, what are you going to watch?
Firefly.
Exactly. You're going to watch Firefly because it has the most fleshed out, interesting like characters that don't really, that mesh together super well, but have all these interconnected problems and different moral systems and everything, all this stuff. That's quality television. This is like crowd pleaser television. It's fine. Like, you get some Star Wars action, you get to see some cool stuff, but there's nothing meaty. There's nothing that is gonna, this show is gonna get forgotten, just like Mando's gonna get forgotten, because there's no lasting anything to it.
And the sad part is these are so much better than the movies that Disney made. Well, like already, even though we're only I guess 3 episodes, but you know, into this Boba Fett show, he's already more interesting and fleshed out character than anybody was in those, which is sad because, like you said, it's actually not that deep.
Well, that's something, like, and I won't talk on it a bunch, but like the SJW, like that's a huge problem in films. Like, I don't care about that. As long as you give me a compelling story, I'll watch it. Like, but it feels like the movies needed a checklist. The Mandalorian didn't have a checklist, really, and neither does Boba Fett, and they have my attention that much more.
That's fair. I'll give it that. Like, if you want to feed me your propaganda, SJW, whatever, all that bullcrap, that's fine. But don't build.
Don't build the movie around it.
Don't build the plot around it. Just throw it in on the sides. That's all it should be anyways, because it's unimportant.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Faff. It's nothing. If that's not what the story is actually about, don't try to build the story around it or make or do something, you know, like what happened with the second Disney one where they were like, hey, we're going to take a third of this movie and go off on a tangent that absolutely has nothing to do with the story. Like, and I'm very thankful that Mandalorian didn't do that. And hopefully we'll see that Favreau and Filoni, because they're the same, it's the same team working on it.
What they do is have reverence for the past. I mean, I'm pretty sure the people who are actually watching Boba Fett are probably true Star Wars fans. Like, they've been with it for a while. Like, I don't think a lot of new Star Wars fans from the previous trilogy are watching Mandalorian or Boba Fett. I don't think they're interested. I think you have the original fan base or the prequels.
I don't know because it's more Star Wars content. Like, people that watch everyone who watched the new movies is watching this because it's the only new Star Wars content out there, right?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they be?
Maybe.
I'm just hoping that the team that worked on Mandalorian, who is now working on Boba Fett, recognizes that part of why Mando did so much better, like, with audience scores and actual fan interest, was because, yes, it could have been better. They could have gone deeper, and I think there are issues that could have been improved upon there. But on the whole, like, they did so much better than any of the actual films did.
Look at what they have to do to try and save it. Like, they need to bring old characters to try and give some life to fans who were crippled.
Well,
that's kind
of a separate issue. I don't think it's impossible to make a good story.
No, but
about
they do a good job of doing it. It's classy. Like, they give explanation. It's not just like, oh, how do we make money? Yeah, let's bring Luke Skywalker in and then just kill him off and piss everybody off. It's like, hey, let's bring these characters and actually give them a role.
I'm just saying, like, hopefully they look at Mandalorian and recognize here's why this was better received by fans than the films were, and that then they will take that and then make it even better.
And
with
so
Boba
far,
Fett.
I would say Boba Fett is following that, like, looking at Mando, saying, hey, Mando is obviously, people like it more in general.
Mm-hmm.
Mando's following in the footsteps of that, which is good in that sense. And for me, it's bad in the other sense that we're not getting anything. We're not getting really any substance,
which is why
that's just how it's going to be. And I think I'm just going to have to accept that about probably anything Star Wars made ever, because they want it. And that's why I pray to God that they stay away from, what is his name? Oh man. Blue skin, red eyes.
I know who you're
talking about. I read the trilogy. What?
Is it Bane?
No. That's from Clone Wars. What's his name? Oh, just a second. We can cut out and come back to this. I forgot his name.
Well, I think there's two Banes. There's a Bane in Old Republic, and then there's a Bane there's Cad Bane in the prequels during the Clone Wars. Is he in Rebels, Star Wars Rebels?
Thrawn, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Okay.
Thrawn, okay.
Yeah, I think he is in Rebels.
This is why I pray... Okay, I haven't seen Rebels. I'm probably not going to watch Rebels. I pray that they stay away from Thrawn. They've talked about making a show for him also. Because Thrawn is hands down, if you read the books, the greatest character in Star Wars as far as, like, just being... As far as being interesting goes, he's maybe not the best, but he's one of the best. He's a very interesting, deep, very cool character. And... if they gave him a show, they would probably just give him the same treatment of kind of washing him down to not really being, just being generic. So I pray that they stay away from him for that reason.
Yeah.
What do you guys like about, what would you say are your highlights from the first two episodes? As far as greatest moments, what do you like most about the show so far?
I really liked in the second episode where he's really kind of started to actually become a member of the Tusken tribe, and he's not just their prisoner anymore, but watching him kind of integrate with their tribe and seeing him like gain their trust and slowly prove his worth as well was really cool. And then also just kind of the whole train heist sequence was just exciting and fun and felt Star Warsy, but also not Star Warsy, but in a good way. Kind of, it almost had kind of like a feel of something that you would see in like Firefly, because you know they do a train heist and like some of that stuff of just like it's just good, solid, fun adventure.
And again, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, but if you think about the train heist that is in Firefly, like that is think about everything that happens in that episode. Two people sneak on to try and distract or whatever. I don't remember Mal and Zoe, whatever they're doing. They get on, they do the heist, they steal the stuff. It's amazing. Then they get stuck on the train because the heist happens. They get stuck on the train.
Mm-hmm.
The people up top realize they stole a bunch of medicine that this suffering town needs. So it becomes this moral quandary.
Yeah.
Here it's just like, oh, we kill some bad guys. Like, it's okay and it's fun. It's exciting-ish to watch, even though you kind of know what's going to happen. That's what I'm saying. Everything about this is it's predictable, and that's just mm-hmm. how it's going to be. That's okay. You don't watch it for it to be something more than what it is. You don't watch it to be Firefly. There's never going to be anything again like Firefly.
No, there's not.
The problem is I want it to be, because it feels so similar in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and then it falls short in some very important ways.
Yeah, I agree. But I'm just saying, you know, you asked for highlights. Like, I thought that was a really good part of that episode, and it was fun to watch, and those were the things that were holding my attention. So
yeah.
I liked I liked, as far as just moments go, I liked the, like I said, the bar scene where he beats up all the pirates, because that's kind of our first moment getting to see him really do some actual mm-hmm. good action. The fight scene in the first episode with the assassins or whatever is super lame,
in my
opinion. But actually he got to do some pretty cool moves and stuff in that part. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, I like that they actually give him a backstory. They didn't just, you know, take the easy way out and say, oh yeah, Bulba's back. You know, they actually say, okay, he's back and he's out for power. Like, and he's a vigilante too, in a sense, like taking matters into his own hand and ruling how he sees fit. Like, he's not just a tyrant like the Hutts, but he has his own standards and own ways that he operates, and I think.
But
that's
he's also
cool.
not benevolent or loving, benevolent. Or you know, he's not there to be friends with people either. Like, he really is trying to stake a claim, and he's.
I want him to be more ruthless. I understand. Maybe they're trying to go a different direction with the character. Maybe they're trying to make it for more of a appealing to younger whatever. Obviously, I want the R-rated Book of Boba Fett, where he's just like completely ruthless and all that,
incinerating people all over the place.
And actually, I think what's most important is I feel like they've nailed his confidence. What you get from the movies, what you get if you read some of the books that have Boba Fett in him, is that he's very confident in himself and his ability,
mm-hmm.
and he's also kind of mysterious. And you still get both of those things from Tamir Morrison.
He doesn't need any explaining or anything, but he realizes the position he's in, and he's like, "All right, like you want proof that I'm." A leader and strong. It's like, I'll give you what you need, and it's like, I'm gonna kick everybody's ass, so don't question my authority.
And I do like that, you know, that so far they haven't let him get pushed around by anybody.
You see,
not
that
intentionally
Hutts,
you know, he's
like
not letting
to.
People push him around, you know, every in every instance, whether it's when he gets captured by the Tusken Raiders or if it's happening in present day where he's trying to make sure everybody knows, I am here to stay, I have staked my claim on this, I am here, and I am the, you know, I'm the crime lord now, that he isn't just, you know, when people are kind of challenge his authority or his ability, he hasn't just sat back and taken it. You know, he has been aggressive in defending himself personally or defending his claim to things. And so what I am really hoping, like, is that with the stuff that's going on in the present day, that they will escalate things to the point where he has to get more dramatic. Like, so far, I think rightfully so, if you want to think about what the situation would be like for somebody like that who is obviously he doesn't want to come in and start a war with people because he doesn't have a lot of support yet. Like, he has a couple bodyguards and like a right hand man, and that's it. You know, he's got like four people that he can rely on, and so obviously he can't just come in and like start a turf war right off the bat. Like, I understand that you would want to ease into that position and try to do it as smoothly as possible until you have the brawn to back up what you're talking about. But I'm hoping that things will escalate to the point where, you know, he has to kind of get more dramatic, whether it's just him kind of flying solo and having to be really cool and be very intelligent about the way he goes about his attacks, or if it means that he ends up like forming an alliance with somebody, whatever it is. I want them to escalate it so that it's not just him sitting around trying to do diplomacy with people.
Come on, I mean, they better.
I'm sure they will.
It doesn't escalate, right?
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, it's just small political conflicts, you know, like, so, hey, he's taxing me too much.
Let's try and wind it down a little bit so I don't have to edit a two-hour podcast. Looking forward to however long this season's going to be, whether it's 6 or 8 episodes, I don't know. What are you guys hoping to see happen? Are there some big things that you want to see? Crane has already, I guess, kind of gone into that. You want to see it escalate more. You want to see him be put in positions where he has to make hard decisions. Yeah. You want him to see it be a little bit more the Boba Fett that we kind of know and love, right, from the original trilogy.
Yeah, that's
what Bradley, what are you hoping to see kind of in the future?
I'd like to see it escalate to maybe a war or something like that. Just like solely on like a whole war. That'd be really interesting to see how he would handle that. Especially because I think it'll end up being in a civil war, just because it reminded me of Japan. And honestly, like, he's this elite warrior, so like in a way I view him as like a samurai or someone of that warrior class, and then he has to defend his honor, and that's what he's going for. So
okay.
And I think that's fair in kind of what they've set up so far, is that he doesn't have a lot to his name. Like, people know who he is, but like you said, he is kind of this mysterious, like, people have heard of him, but nobody really knows
he's
a lot about him anymore. A lot of people thought he was dead. So yeah, there could be kind of this element of, now that he has tried, you know, now that he's claimed his turf, that he does have he does feel like there's a lot at stake, because he is, in a way, he's kind of starting over in the world. And, like, obviously, we don't really know yet how he got from being part of the Tusken Raider group to where he's at now. And you know,
although, from this point, you can see he's not a slave anymore.
That's not what I mean. I mean, we don't know what the chain of events is. We don't know, like, what his life has gone, you know, we don't know all those pieces of what his life has gone through yet to where, but it is very clear that he's kind of having to start over. When he went in and took, when he goes in and takes Jabba's palace, like, that's him kind of being like, okay, I'm kind of starting from square one again after his participation in the Mandalorian story. And so I think it'll be like, there is kind of a lot at stake for him here. And so there could definitely be an element of like,
I would say I'm looking forward to there definitely being some more badassery from Boba Fett. That's really what I want to see. I'm glad that they've kind of nailed his personality, at least, I think, in my opinion. And obviously, like I said, I want to see some more character growth and some more plot depth. Give me a little bit of politics in Mos Espa here. Give me, like, here's a good example. So I read the Bounty Hunter Wars, the first book in that trilogy or whatever, and it gives you really cool insight into the Bounty Hunters Guild and all the political stuff going on in there, and how everyone's kind of, nobody's working with each other, but you all kind of are working together kind of in a way. Like, it's amazing. It's really cool. Like, those relationships. I want to see some of that in here, where you have people who certainly are not allies, but they kind of have to be on the same page sometimes. And then there's backstabbing and intrigue between different peoples. Already you have the Hutts, the mayor, and the whatever's going on with the people in the bar. And then you have Boba Fett. So we already have kind of the groundwork for hopefully something to happen. I just want to see some kind of somewhat deep connections between these characters.
I will say, kind of just in general, I appreciate, though, that even though they are handling the storytelling in a similar way to The Mandalorian, I really can appreciate that even though we're seeing a lot of the same locations with Tatooine, that it actually is very, it feels very different from The Mandalorian in a lot of ways too. And that you don't, just like The Mandalorian had very much, I think, kind of like a Western feel to it a lot of times, where he's, where just the way his character is and the very, like, in the episodic nature of it, where he's, excuse me, with him being an active bounty hunter and kind of taking jobs and like, and that was good and that was fun and interesting. But I like that this is totally different, and I appreciate that they didn't just do the same kind of like, okay, here's Boba Fett, and every week he's going to have a brand new adventure, and there might be like one little thread that kind of connects through the whole thing. I like that this one has gone a different route, and I think that was the right decision by the crew that's working on this to make it unique in that sense.
Okay. So final thoughts, give me a judgment so far after seeing two. I get, you guys have both seen three, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it up to snuff? Is it up to where you want it to be?
Do you want that in like a...
It doesn't have to be a number format, just kind of like, like, is it good? Is it great? Is it perfect? Is it okay?
I would say good. Okay. I wouldn't go better than good at this point.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think there's some things that are lacking, but honestly, I didn't go in with high expectations, so I'd say it exceeds my expectations now, being good, but it's not beyond that either.
For me, coming from it from a somewhat pessimistic view, I would say it's okay, and I'm looking forward to it
getting better.
Yeah, not getting worse.
I think, yeah, we could all agree it's got potential. They've given themselves a lot of things that are good tools that they could work with, so just hopefully they let those different threads realize their full potential instead of cutting it, you know, short or stopping short of what the really show could be, because he is an interesting character, and they have, I think they've set themselves up to potentially be very successful, but yeah. It just kind of depends on, you know, is their goal just to be a crowd pleaser and make it kind of bland and like easy for anybody from the age of like 5 to, you know, however old, watch it and enjoy it? Or do they actually want to take this opportunity to really explore an interesting character in Star Wars that they're probably not going to get another chance to do this with?
Don't get your hopes up is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely not banking on them making this incredible thing. Like, I think if you wanted it to be amazing, circumstances would be, it'd have to be a lot different. You'd have to undo years of other events. So,
yeah.
Well,
thanks, Kathleen Kennedy.
45 minutes blew by like 15.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Actually, I think it'd be fun to do 3 and 4 after 4 drops, and we all have a chance to watch it. We could.
Yeah, it's going to drop this Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So maybe, yeah.
Yeah, all right. That'd be good.
And hopefully within a week or so, we'll have an episode on episodes 3 and 4 of The Book of Boba Fett. Thanks for listening.